Pat Jones came to Australia by accident, he thought, but it was all part of a plan that he didn't realise. He'd left New Zealand and come over here as a bit of a shearer, a bit of a roustabout, a bit of anything, looking for, you know, a bit of a adventure as he travelled around Australia and got to South Australia and got stuck because God got a hold of him. And he might tell you a little bit about that, but we had the privilege in this church of welcoming this young guy. As someone said, it was about 20 years ago. I had hair and a moustache, and Pat came here, not really sure what we were on about. He told me the other day he thought I was a government worker, or I worked for the government anyway. But yeah, it was a wonderful story, great miracle, as all of our conversions are miracles. His had its own particular flavour to it, I suppose. But anyway, he was here for a while, a few years, and then off he carried on, continued to travel around Australia. Hopefully, he thought, maybe head back to New Zealand sometime, he'd love to get a bit of land. Well, he got stuck again over near Albany, just north of Albany. There was this girl called Tinica, and they fell in love and they got married and they've had six children. And the Lord has just been very faithful to them. We used to worry about Pat when he went off. We thought, man alive, you know, he's got so little support, hasn't got a family that's surrounding him, he hasn't got a bunch of Christian friends, he wasn't involved in Bible study like some of us have. How's he going to go? But he just, God had a hold of him, and God brought people into his life, and it was wonderful. So he's gone on and on from there, up and down, and all of that sort of thing. And it's great to have Pat back here. He's with the Gideons this weekend over here, or this week. And it's great that Tinnick has been able to be with him as well this time. And all their kids are farmed out around. And just a quiet little welcome to Steph too, who's Tinnick's sister from Mount Gambier. Great to have them here. So, Pat, I'm going to welcome you up in a minute, but I've got this letter here that's sort of like the letter that went with Paul to Ephesus or whatever, and I've got to read it out. It says, "To the saints gathered in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in South Australia, greetings in the name of our gracious Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our brother and sister, Patrick and Tinica Jones, will be visiting your area during July 2015. This is from the Albany Christian Assembly. During which time they'll be seeking fellowship with the Lord's people. We would ask that you receive our brother and sister as is consistent with those professing our Lord Jesus Christ. Patrick and Tinica with their family have been in happy fellowship with the saints in Albany for many years. Patrick's a ministering elder in the assembly, and Tinica's involved in teaching in the Sunday school. They're both active contributors to the Lord's work here, and they and their family are valued and beloved in Christ. The saints in Albany send their warmest greetings, your brethren in Christ, for and on behalf of the Albany Christian Assembly." So, with that great letter of commendation, Pat, come and bring the word of God to us today. Thanks, brother. Don't get any ideas that I'm going to start wearing a suit.
Maybe I should.
Thanks so much. It's a real thrill for me to be here this morning. As David said, I met the Lord in South Australia and I was baptized right there. Right then there, and my wife said, "Is that where you're baptised? It looks a bit small." She said, "Yeah, there's two of us in there, wasn't there, Dave?" And you know, when I come to the Lord, I had absolutely no understanding of theology. I had no history of Christendom in my life. But when I read the scriptures that very first time, I can still see the place where I was standing. I know the book. I was reading the Gospel of Matthew. And I opened the Word of God, and it was crystal clear to me. And then sharing 20 years, I've done Bible studies and studied the Word, and the Lord's always opening his Word to me. But that moment, it's never been more clear. It can't get more clear. You know, the power of the Word and the Holy Spirit. I knew nothing, and I knew nothing about Christianity. I came from a generations of reprobates, alcohol, and marital breakdowns. And at 22, I was such a disillusioned man. I wasn't really an angry man, but I was disillusioned. And the Lord miraculously intervened in my life. And you know, it's been a wonderful blessing. And I look at what he's done, and he's given me a wonderful wife and a marriage and children. And I can come here and I can have the fellowship with you saints, with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, all these wonderful blessings that we have. But you know what? That's not the gospel, is it? That's not the gospel. I want you today, if you wouldn't mind, is to open your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Samuel. And chapter 9. David had been made king. Saul and Jonathan had died in battle. And David, I'm just going to read and maybe paraphrase a bit and look through this. David said, you know, David loved Jonathan, didn't he? And Jonathan was a wonderful man. Is there yet any in there left in the house of Saul that I might say, show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? There was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. When they had called him unto David, the king said to them, art thou Ziba? He said, thy servant is he. The king said, is there not any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has a son, he's lame on his feet. The king said unto him, where is he? Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Micah, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. And King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Micah, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, and the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. David said unto him, fear not, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. I will restore all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread continuously at my table. He bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou should look upon such a dead dog as I? The king called unto Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and all of his house. And thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servants, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem and did eat continually at the king's table. He was lame on both feet. When we're sitting at the table, here he is sitting at the table of the king. Brothers, when we're sitting at the table and we're sitting opposite one another, what don't you see? You don't see their legs, do you? You don't see their feet. It's hidden. It's covered, isn't it? The table has covered the feet. The very thing that set Mephibosheth apart, the thing that was abhorred by everyone, could not be seen. It was covered. You know what? That's the gospel. We're not covered by a table. When we come before the King, Almighty God, we're covered, but we're covered by the blood of a lamb, aren't we? And we're going to sit there and stand there in front of him as if we're not seen, as if we have not sinned, and our sins shall be covered by the blood. That's the gospel. You know, there's a wonderful hymn we sing. There's a fountain filled with blood, I'm sure you know it, flowing from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. There's so many promises that have been thrown around the last few years. What the gospel is, what the gospel can promise, what we can promise when we share the gospel. We can promise you restoration of relationships. We can promise you health. We can promise you opportunities. You know what? That is absolute nonsense. We can't make those promises. And people are hearing them and they're getting disillusioned with the gospel because they think this is what it's all about. That is not what it's all about. The gospel is all about restoration, redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've been overseas and many of you have seen people, that kind of other gospel won't cut it. If you're a child in India today, and if you give your heart to the Lord, and someone comes over there telling them all this stuff, what's going to happen, not only is that not going to happen, that they're also going to be persecuted, and it'll probably cost them their life. But what do we know? They'll be saved, won't they? We used to say, and I think back 20 years ago, I was gloriously saved. Saved, and that's what the gospel is all about. And that's all that we can promise. The book of Hebrews and the chapter speaks about at the end of the chapter of faith that there are some, and we all know them. We have family members, we know people, and their lives are still in torment. And they still have problems. But however, if they've come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they are still saved. Corinthians tells us that if only in this world we have hope, what are we? Men most miserable. The gospel is all about eternity and what we have in that. You know, the second stanza of that wonderful hymn, do you know it? The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. That's the thief on the cross of the Lord. And there have I, as vile as he, washed all my sins away. And that thief, he came to Jesus, didn't he? But he died, didn't he? And if the Lord doesn't return, my body will wax old and I will lose my mind perhaps, and I will go the way of the grave and most. But my salvation is secure. And some of you might not, I don't know if agree with me, but when you come to Christ, there is nothing can take that from you. The Lord will never let anyone go. Our security is safe in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. David touched on the Gideon ministry. We were called into full-time ministry about 7 or 8 years ago. I thought at the time it was part-time, but no such thing as part-time ministry, is there? We're called into ministry of the placement of the Word of God. And of the ministry of the Gideons. But I learned very quickly that the goal of the Gideon ministry is not to place the Word of God. Our purpose is to see men and women, boys and girls, come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we do it by placing the Word of God and by personal witnessing. Our why, what we do, is not why we do it. Why we do it is for the lost. It's like why we come to church this morning. My wife and I realized a few years ago, why do we come to church? You know, because if you're coming for the wrong reasons, if you're coming for the fellowship and the singing and the preaching, that's what we do in church. I agree. That's what we do. But that's not why we come, because sometimes the singing's not that good, especially if you're back in Albany and I'm leading it, I can tell you. Sometimes the fellowship, that person you might want to see is not there. Or worse, that person you might not want to see is there. But these things we do in church, and the preaching might not. But why do we come? Why are we here today? We're here for one reason, to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to remember him, and he asked us to do it, didn't he? Remember him. And when you come to remember the Lord, the other stuff, it puts it into perspective. If something's not quite right, it doesn't matter, because we can always remember the Lord, can't we? What he done for us, where we were. Brother Gary talked about Gentiles. It says that, doesn't it, in Philippians, where we once were in that helpless state, lost sinners of the Gentiles, outside of the covenant of Israel, but now through the blood of Jesus, those that were far off have been brought nigh. That's us. Is there any Jews here today? No, we were Gentiles and have been brought close to Jesus Christ through that. And so we have that wonderful, wonderful blessing. You know, and then that, it gives you an appreciation. It gives you appreciation of your own salvation. And it's so precious to us. We'd do anything. We would do anything, I think, to see the lay of loved ones come to Christ. But would we give up our own salvation? If we could, we can't anyway. It's the most precious thing to us. It's a wonderful hope that we have. And those that we know, maybe not enjoying fellowship. Maybe they're physically, their bodies are failing, but we know that they're safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've always thought of that wonderful psalm of David when he came, when his sin was made clear, and he wrote that Psalm 51, "Have mercy upon me, O God." But that wonderful passage where he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Have you felt that in your life? Do you need sometimes to restore that first love, the joy of your salvation? And of course the next passage says, "Then I will teach transgressors thy way, and sinners will turn back to thee." Very important. The joy, the initial joy, the euphoric. Yeah, I come here, it's just about overcome with emotion of nostalgia. To walk into here, the church seemed so much bigger and as a building back then, and that. And nostalgia is a powerful emotion, isn't it? To come back and to be with God's people. It's a wonderful thing to be with God's people, especially for a purpose. And that purpose is always the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we've been holding a series of mission nights, raising funds for the placement of the Word of God. It's such a, I won't go into the ministry much, but the ministry is just, it's just a wonderful, what I call raw, really raw ministry. And as always worked the Gideon ministry, I've learned is that the Christian community supplies funds for the Word of God. The Gideons place the Word of God in different areas, and then God speaks for it. It's great because we can't muck it up, can we? Holy Spirit speaks for it. We can muck up a lot of things in our life and get in the way of God. It's a wonderful ministry, and I'm totally convinced that just about any testimony you would hear of somebody who comes to the Lord would always point it back to the Word of God somewhere in their life. And as I talk about restoration, when the prisons in Russia, the old Soviet Union, were finally opened up to the placement of the Word of God through the Gideons, two men went in there and they come outside, they placed scriptures, and one of the men, he started to weep. Brother said to him, "Brother, what's the matter?" He said, "You know, my father died in that prison. The only reason he was there was because he's a Christian. And here am I, and I've just placed the Word of God in that very prison." Overcome. There was no restoration for that family. There was no freedom from that cell. But a freedom from sin, yes. Remember what the gospel is. Hold tight of what it really is and what we can offer, what God can offer and what we can share. Sins forgiven, redeemed. A wonderful, beautiful gospel which should never be added to or changed or just adulterated and promised anything else or anything extra. You know, in some parts of the world, that other stuff, like I said, ain't going to cut it. I've seen young children in absolute destitute poverty, a chance and years ago to go to West Africa. You know, that is such a wonderful sound, isn't it, of a newborn baby? Isn't it lovely to have the children with us? And we saw thousands and thousands of children who were overwhelmed with a nation of Ghana, which you don't hear about, a nation accepting the Word of God, because there's men in high places know one thing, that outside of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no hope. And it's filtering down through the schools. And they desire the children to know it because they can see what's going on. And they're preaching against nominalism. And they're preaching hard and challenging them. And when you're in a scripture distribution and you've got 600 children receiving New Testaments and you've got 10 minutes and you've got to get to another school, there's only one way you can do it. And that's with your foot against the wall like this, quick. And the children are filing past. And you might say, "God bless you, darling. God bless you. Have a nice day. What's your name?" "My name's Precious." "Oh, little, beautiful." "My name's Princess." "Take a little New Testament." "My name's Esther or Hannah." Lovely, beautiful, beautiful names. Beautiful children. You know, if someone had told me beforehand there's a harvest on in the world, I never would have believed it. I hadn't seen it in 20 years in Australia. But I've seen it with my own eyes. I felt like Simeon and Luke, when he got to see the baby Christ, "Now I can go." Even the first day, if I was taken, I would have been happy. Handing out New Testaments, you go, "God bless you." And all of a sudden, you go like this and take your hand away, and you're a little boy, and you're holding your hand tight. He'd look at you and he'd say, "God bless you, sir." You know, it happened every day to every member. We're overwhelmed. The power of the gospel and the power of the word of God as it's reaching out. And wherever I go, I challenge people to set aside funds for the New Testaments. It behoves us to supply it for those that have nothing. And it is our calling. It is my calling, and we love for it. So we have a wonderful gospel that's going out, but in Australia it's just, it seems hard, doesn't it? But be consoled that people are coming to the Lord one by one. One at a time is so precious. One at a time, one at a time. The Lord's pouring out His Spirit and He's faithful. As long as you present the gospel for what it is. You know, I don't want to embarrass my wife, but if you looked on my wife's left hand, you'd see a lovely diamond there. Most of you ladies know what I'm talking about. It's part and parcel of getting engaged, isn't it? You say yes, he gives you a diamond. That's how it works. No diamond, no yes. Well, that's not true. You see, my wife and I have been married 17 years at the end of this year. And when we got married, I didn't have much money. So I bought my wife just a little engagement plain ring, which is still there. And as when you're in business and when you're starting out, you have those years what I call a struggle. And then all of a sudden, you finally break the poverty cycle. So my wife had to wait 16 years for a diamond ring. You know, and it was such a joy to give it to her. And I thought, and she had this ring, and she was sitting on the lounge room at home. I said to the children, "What's different about Mum?" "Oh, they're jumping around." "And what's different?" And because there's something different about Mum, and they didn't know, and they got more agitated, and they didn't know. I don't think, did anyone pick her up, love? We had to tell them. And then when she went to church, I said, "Did any of the ladies notice?" "No." I said, "Well, that's surprising, because ladies," without appearing to sound rude, I've noticed that ladies notice everything. Hair, new clothes, shoes, every little nuance that us men miss, don't we? We just miss. No one noticed. And I didn't buy it for anyone else but my wife, but no one noticed. No one noticed. There's only one person that noticed my wife had a new diamond on her hand. We have a little nephew. His name is Caleb too. Caleb, actually, but Caleb too as well. As your Caleb. His name is Caleb, and he's such a delight. He's an albino, and he's absolutely, almost totally blind. He's only about two or three. And he loves my wife dearly, his auntie Tinica, his tanta Tinica. He loves her, and he greets her. And when he greets her, he'd just come up. "Can you come up, brother?" Only a little fella. Imagine this little fella meeting his aunt. He'd just come up, he'd be standing, and he'd grab her like this, and he'd hold her hands and hold her like that. And he'd greet her, and he'd look up into her eyes. And he'd come and met her, and he brought his hands down, and he grabbed his hands, and, "Oh, wow, that's special." Just like that, "Wow, that's special." Well, put his hands behind his back, and he said something the other way. "Oh, he must really love you." He's blind. He just grabbed her for a moment. He doesn't see her that often, every couple of months. And in that moment, he knew. The only person that ever saw that ring was a three-year-old blind boy. Can you believe that? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's that diamond, isn't He? And His luster has not diminished, has it? And if you think today that you can't see it as clearly as you used to see it, and if it doesn't shine any bright, don't try looking with your eyes. You've got to look with your heart, don't you? Jesus shines brighter. You know that wonderful hymn we sing. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, today to support one another, to love one another, to look to Jesus Christ for everything that is in us. You know, there's people today, like me 20 years ago, that want to sing that hymn for the first time. That wonderful Charles Wesley hymn, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine iron diffused a quickening ray. I woke the dungeons framed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth and followed thee. You know, and be encouraged that there is people today still singing that hymn for the first time. Brothers and sisters, remember Jesus. Remember who he is and what he's done for us. Focus on him. His luster, as I said, is definitely in no way diminished. And he is what he always said he would be, our Redeemer, our Saviour, the Shepherd who knows us.
And now unto him that is able to the exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us,
unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, throughout all the ages, world without end. And Father, we thank you so much for the fellowship that we have with you through Jesus Christ. Lord, may he be in our first thoughts in the morning and last in the evening. May we continue to write your word in our heart. May you continue, please, to keep us from sin, and may we teach it to our children so that look at what the Lord hath done for me. Redemption, salvation, presented before the King as if we had not seen. Sins covered by the wonderful blood, the precious blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much.